Colossians 3. Paul's pattern in all his epistles, he deals with issues of what you could call them doctrinal issues, doctrinal truths. He deals with them. He goes down through and speaks to them and defines them, defines the truth of the gospel. After he does that, then he goes into what I would say more of a practical application, how these truths impact practically and in a real way our lives. In other words, if I have been transformed by the gospel, if I've been born again, he uses in the last chapter, he used baptism, a spiritual application of baptism, that is, we are baptized, we go down under the water, that water covers us. In essence, it typifies us dying, being buried with Christ, and then we're lifted up out of the water, and we come up out of that water, we're raised to new life, and the water, you know, just drenches off us, and it's such a beautiful symbol of being washed and cleansed. But we're renewed in the gospel. And baptism is an outward thing, an outward sign, an outward act that represents what Paul has said Jesus did for us on the cross. He begins with that in this chapter. If then you were raised with Christ, as Christ, and again, baptism represents that, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. See, Paul's saying that we have all these truths. I read my Bible every day. Well, I read my Bible every day, and then the truths that are in that Bible, the things that I read. You know, I'm not, you know, in some fairy tale land where some little fairy, you know, has a little wand touching, oh, you know, ding, 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 ding. Then I make choices. Then I've made this decision for Christ, and now, what is he saying? Seek. That's you, that's me. I've come to Christ. I'm dead with Christ, been buried with Christ. Now I'm raised to new life in Christ. As a result of that, I'm now going to choose to seek those things which are above. My drive in life has to be different. If I have been touched by Christ, if Christ has transformed my life, I used to spend my life just running wildly after whatever my flesh would want. I look at, I think a kid can really rule a home. We don't have a kid in our home anymore. We have a little dog that weighs 6 pounds that rules our home. It's amazing. Whatever he wants, he's going to sit there and do his little thing until he gets what he wants. What a life. I want to go outside. And he'll do his thing until we let him outside. We can yell at him. We can ignore him. You yell at him, he might run. And a minute later, he'll be right back doing the sign. He's going to do it until he gets it. He wants to eat. He's got his little act. He will sit and do his thing until he gets his food. It's not time yet, Feeny. Doesn't matter. He's gonna keep coming. Keep coming. He does not change his mind until he gets what he wants. I was the other day, we've had some nice days like today. If you were at our house today in that wind, you know, the big windows there, the sun, it's so nice just to sit. That's where he'll go. He'll go and he'll lay right there in the sun. What a life. You know, and that's the middle of the day. I mean, what are you and I doing in the middle of the day? Working. And man, he's just zoning out. In fact, that's all he wants to do. He wants to sit. He wants to lay on you. He wants what he wants. Just whatever. It's such an example of the flesh. And that's the way you and I were before Christ. Whatever our flesh wanted, that's what we ran after. And it was the things of the world. It was materialism. It was even the lust within my flesh. That's what Paul's saying that changes. If Jesus is real, I must choose to seek those things which are above. What's he saying? Seeking the things of the Lord. Seeking, really, the things of heaven. One of my major concerns as a Christian should be salvation and those around me. How many times do we even think of it? How many times does my heart, again, do I have any feeling at all? Is my heart even moved for the people I'm in contact with every day? You know darn well they're not saved. If they're not saved, they're not going to heaven. If they're not going to heaven, they're going to hell. They're eternally in danger. My cousin's son's wife committed suicide. Friday? Was it Saturday? Wow. A young lady, 32 years old, has nothing to live for and is hopeless, and it's hard to imagine. How sad, huh? Wow. Our concern should be for others. Our concern should be for the lost. And I don't think it's a church's concern really right now. I don't think we're concerned that much about the lost. Again, things I observe. We're concerned more about, you know, if I go to church, am I going to feel good? If I go to church, am I going to be kind of entertained? Am I going to get what I don't know how many people, and this never happened before, but I don't know how many people, you know, when I talk to them, well, what does your church have to offer me? And I want to say, you know what, nothing. Our church has nothing to offer you. But I'd really like to know what you have to offer to the church. We have nothing to offer you. That's not true, but I mean, what they're saying is, what can you provide for me? And if you can't provide it, I'll find, you know, there are those that do. They tout themselves. And I was listening to an ad. I had to go to Pittsburgh Thursday. And on my way, I always listen, click on different local stations. They have K-Love down there. And so I was listening to K-Love, and they have ads. It's amazing the ads they had on there for, you know, different churches. And the one was, we have three campuses. We have three campuses in the Pittsburgh area. And Pittsburgh South, or yes, Pittsburgh South, Pittsburgh Proper, and Pittsburgh North. And you come to our campus, and you know, they just went on and on and on. You know, we have the something zone. And, you know, this is for your children up to 5 years old. And you know, we have this and this and this and this. And then we have this zone, and it's for 5 to 10. And then we have the something else for 10 to 15. And we have, and they just went, it went on and on. I was like, wow. You know, geez, it's kind of like Walmart. I can go get whatever I want, get it cheap. No commitment, as quick as I can, I get out of there. And wow. You know, just that's not what the church is. Again, am I seeking? Let's get back. If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are. Again, when I read this stuff, I mean, the Lord just hammers me. I mean, it's a, maybe it doesn't touch you, but I just ask myself the question: Is that where my focus is? Is that where my, you might say, my eyes are? Are my eyes up? If I would step back and look at, you know, kind of do an evaluation of life right now. We're coming to the end of the year, right? Oh, I'm going to make a New Year's, you know, I think if you make New Year's resolution or decisions or whatever, you got to evaluate 2017, right? You know, what did I accomplish for Jesus? That's just a good, you know, what could I say I accomplished for Jesus in 2017? This, or geez, I don't know. I don't know if I accomplish anything. We gotta have some goals. Yeah. We gotta. And you might say, well, geez, how do I find goals? Well, find some goals in the fellowship here. I would hope everybody's praying for the radio ministry. The radio ministry, I'm just telling you, need support. We're never going to beg for money, but we need financial support. We need all kinds of different support just in a radio ministry. We're redoing the back. We want to redo some of the things in the church now that the Christian school is out of here. Today we set up tables. We have plenty of room. Make a kitchen, make a little fellowship hall. Maybe change the, you know, we're doing classrooms right now. Maybe you have a gift with drywall or whatever. There's all kinds of ways. You know, teaching. We have nursing home ministries, hospital ministries. Jay has been working for quite a while now. Jay went to school of ministry. He did some things, went through some things here at the church. We partnered him with the chaplain, Marcus Briggs, at Warren General and the nursing homes. He's faithfully been mentored by Mark. He's gone with Mark to the nursing homes and to the hospital. With the goal that we ultimately, and we're going to do this, he doesn't know, but fairly soon, we're going to ordain him as our minister, kind of a visitation. And it's just a neat thing. You know, that God, hey, where can I serve? Where do I have a heart? And just like God gave Jay that heart, to go and sit with people and talk with people and visit people and... And not only that, but to say, you know what, I'll sit under, you know, guys that have done these things and be discipled by them. Just to have that goal. You know, I just want to serve. I just want to seek the things. Where Christ is sitting at the right, set your mind. I when I read this next verse, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. And I think whenever I'm anxious, it's because I've set my mind on the things of the earth. I'm anxious, I'm worried, I'm getting beat down. I need to set my mind on things above. Philippians 4:8, I have to think of the noble things, the worthy things, the honorable things, the godly things. 1 John 2:15, if I'm in love with these things, then I can't be in love with the Lord. If I'm in love with the things of the world, how can I be in love with the Lord? The two don't jive. I have to set my mind on things above, not on things of the earth. We might just think of that in times of crisis. Well, I need to set my mind on things above now because I'm in need. It's a good thing. Sometimes God uses that. I just think my whole purpose in life now has changed because Jesus is in me. And so I'm not really preparing. Maybe I should have. I'm not really preparing for retirement. I don't ever plan to retire. I'm not really preparing, I guess, even, I wouldn't advise doing this, but even financially for the end of life, because I want to invest everything I have in the kingdom. And so whatever walk, and I know, because guys, different ones have said this. Well, but you're the pastor. No. That's not why I'm doing it, because I'm the pastor. It's because I just see that's what the Word tells me to do. And it doesn't matter. See, we're all pastors. That's what we tend to forget. Every guy here that's has a home, you're the pastor of that home. I'm not. Every guy here that has a family, you're the pastor of that family. I'm not. And if we don't have those things still, we're ministers. We're ministers wherever God has placed us. You know, in our homes, in the community, at our place of work. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. And I just ask myself a question. Where is my mind mainly? Am I really doing this? And this is the truth. This is the truth of baptism. This is what baptism kind of exemplifies or illustrates. Boom! You're dead. You've died to that. I love Paul in Romans 6 and 7. I'm dead to sin. I'm alive to God. But yet I'm living in sin and I'm sinning. That's because I haven't reckoned myself dead and I'm choosing again to live that way. I've not set my heart where it needs to be. And so, for you died. The old man is dead. So why am I living like the old man? For you died, your life is hidden with Christ and God. Wow. You ever thought about that? My life is hidden with Christ in God. And I just think, when God sees you or I, He sees us through the lens of Christ. We're not that old person. We're not that failure. We're not that flop. We're not that fumble. We're not that mistake. It's all covered, and God is seen, you and I. We're hidden in Christ. We're clothed with the righteousness of Christ. I mean, those things blow my mind. How wonderful He is. How complete His saving and His salvation and His redeeming is. We are now His. And then when Christ, who is our life, appears, Jesus is coming. He's coming back. Then you also will appear with Him in glory. Man, I love to read Revelation 19. I mean, growing up, when I was growing up, it was like these old army shows that we call them old now, and then cowboys and Indians. That was the thing. I mean, and like the cavalry. Then I like, wow, that's awesome. You know, just. You and I are going to come when Jesus comes. We're going to come with him. I was talking with Kim and I. We went out to dinner and John's parents were there. And we were just talking. We just happened to meet, so we sat and ate together. And we were talking. I had never, one of my best friends growing up, I hadn't seen him for, I haven't seen him now forever. But I didn't know if Larry was related to Jim. So I asked, and he's a nephew. And we would always ride horses, you know, together growing up. And it's always kind of fun. It's fun to ride them. It's not fun to take care of them. That's the thing. You could just always just ride. Carrie has the right idea. I'm going to go to this farm and just ride their horses all the time. I don't have to feed them, although she does, but I don't have to feed them, take care of them, pay their vet bills, you know. So, but we're gonna ride into Calvary. We're gonna come back with Jesus. We'll appear with him in glory when Christ comes. Therefore, and now here we go. He's given us the truth. He's given us, you know, I say the theology. How does it apply? Well, it applies as I apply it, as you apply it. If I never apply it, it ain't gonna happen. If I never do what the Word tells me to do, it's never going to happen. I'm not going to know the blessedness of these things that are talked about in the Scriptures. I'm just never going to know it. I'm never going to know that the truth of it's more blessed to give. See, my whole thing is I want to get. But yet there's that truth there. It's more blessed to give than get. Oh, if I never give, how am I ever going to experience what the truth of that is? What that blessedness is? The first will be last, and the last will be first. What in the heck does it mean? I always want to be first. So I never know. I never experience what that blessedness is. I always want to. I will make sure I'm first. And I'm saying, like, in, you know, just in our conversations and stuff, how many of us guys, I mean, we're the smartest, we're the most capable, we're the biggest, we're the best, and we portray ourselves as that. And I'm just, wow. You know, I never know what it is. Again, you won't. I don't think I've ever gone shopping Black Friday, but I mean, can you? I mean, I just laugh at some of that stuff. Camping out? I'll go to the wilderness and camp out. That's camping out. Camping out in front of a store? You got to be kidding me! And then get trampled trying to get into the thing? Or getting punched, I mean, that's a lot of fun. Yeah, again, it's just that whole thing. Advertising plays on the greed of man, doesn't it? The lust of the flesh. And they know how to play the game, and we fall right for it. Therefore, here's our part. Put to death your members which are on earth. I'm born again. Jesus is in me. The Holy Spirit lives in me. You know what? I'm putting it to death. Put to death. Interesting way he starts out with the sexual sins. Fornication.
put it to death.
Uncleanness. Passion. Evil desire. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Wow. I mean, to me, hits right away these very, to me, the very base, and I think some, maybe the, those strongest desires of the flesh. That's in every one of us. And what's he say? He said, now that you know the truth, you have a responsibility. You put these things to death. It's interesting. He doesn't say, call, 10 people, have them come and lay hands on you and deliver you from this spirit. No. They're works of the flesh.
That's right.
You're not going to get delivered, having somebody pray over you. You have to make a decision. I have to die to them. A huge way of dying to these things is, I really believe, whatever, again, I'm not going to say that. Whatever I am filled up with is going to, come out of me, okay? So, if I got to fill my mind, I've got to fill my mind with the Word of God. I can't stress that enough. If the Word, it has to be, I'm telling you, it has to be a labor. I have to be filled with the Word of God. And these things will be put to death. That's as simple as that. It's a major way. And I have to choose to do it. I have to choose to labor in it. I have to choose. I have failed in memorizing it. There's no excuse for it. I was just laziness, laziness, laziness. Memorize it. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Yeah, I want to experience displeasure, and it's a strong word, wrath. Well, I just need to walk in these things. In which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. See, I shouldn't be living in them. What a disservice, all this technology. I think I could go on that computer in there. It won't come through, but it pops. This stupid phone that I got, the things that pop up on that thing are they're unbelievable. My old phone broke. I went and got, what everybody gets. And it's one of those, is it a smartphone? I'm a dummy. A dummy using a smartphone. Can you imagine that? It's definitely smarter than I am. I get so frustrated with that thing. It's always doing things. I don't know if I'm making it do it or if it just does it. And I don't know how to stop it. This is what's popping up on that. I haven't asked Jimmy. I just turn it on and it pops up. And what it is it'll show a woman walking down the street or something, and the caption will be she's got a really short dress on. Want to see more? Hit a button. Do you guys get that on yours?
No.
Why is it coming on mine? That's the truth. That's popping up on that thing all the time.
Wow. You got a target on your back.
Yeah, I probably did got a target on my back.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, all I'm saying is that I don't understand it. I don't get it. But it's there. That's what I'm trying to say. It's there. We live in that kind of a world. And so I have to make a decision. Certainly the first decision, I'm not going to press a button, right? Because I don't know where that's going
to
lead.
Get back to work.
Yeah. Turn the thing off, right? But I do have to investigate that. But I'm not sure. All he's saying is that I have a responsibility. Job said, you know what? I'm going to make a decision, what? To not let, to look, not to look at any unclean thing. That's a covenant that he made with God. That's a decision that he made. All right? And so it's like we have a part here. It's not just going to... Is that my life? Is things above my mind on the things above? And then putting to death the things of the flesh. I once lived in that. I'm not living in it now. Jesus, should I take Jesus and would you? Would you take Jesus into the bar room? Would you take Jesus into the whatever, the brothel? Or what would we think of that? I hope not. You know, I make that decision. In which you yourselves once walked. But now you yourselves are to put off. You see, it's almost like Paul saying, I used to dress this way. I don't dress this way anymore. I've put that aside. Now I'm putting on. He actually says, clothe yourselves with Christ. That's a decision I make. That's a decision that you make. I'm going to put on the things of God. Look at what he says here. Put off. Now you yourselves are to put off all these. Oh, I thought this was just going to magically happen. I thought that this was an emotion that God gave me. I was created with it. And so, you know what? I have a right, I've been told this, I have a right to express it. Well, no, you don't. No, you don't. You yourselves are to put off these anger. How many of us guys? It's normally a guy thing. It's not necessary. In the scriptures, anger, I mean, guys a lot, anger. How many angry guys we got here? Don't have to be. Put it off. See, that's my responsibility. Put it off. Put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. I'm just going to... That's not a part of me anymore. Do not lie to one another. When was the last time I lied? I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to... Tell the truth. Since you put off the old man with his deeds. See, a lot of times we put him off and then we go right back and put him on. And it might not be all these, but you know what? I'm just, you know, this is just unique to me. And I've got to change. Well, put it off. I think what happens is I make that decision, I'm done with it, and then God gives me the enabling. And he transforms my life. I put off, but I put on. And again, that's where I think we were saying earlier, I can fill my mind with all this other stuff. But if I'm filling it with the Word, if I'm filling it with prayer, if I'm filling it with the right things, don't lie, put off the deeds of the old man. Put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, Christ is all and in all. Man, I just want to be consumed with Jesus. And we'll do five more verses here. Therefore, as the elect of God. That's who I am. That's who you are. What that means is that God has chosen you and I. He did it. I go, wow. I'll never forget it. I think it's the only time I was ever chosen last. Kim and I were together. And we were at this campground, and a bunch of people were going to play softball. And so we wanted to play, and we ventured down there. And they actually said, line up. We're going to choose sides. And Kim and I were chosen last. That's fine. We're chosen first. God's chosen you. He's put you on his team. He's adopted you. You're his son, his daughter, his child. Therefore, is the elect of God holy and beloved. That's who you and I are. Feel holy this morning? Beloved. We put off the old man. We put off anger. We put off wrath. We put off malice. We put off filthy language. We put off blasphemy. We put off lying. We put these things off. Now, what do? You put on. Put on tender mercies. Kindness. Humility. Meekness. Long-suffering. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. That's who we are now. And if we're not, we need to repent and make that decision. You know what? I want to be more like Jesus. If anyone has a complaint against another, even so, as Christ forgave you, you must do. So maybe there's a legitimate beef. What am I to do? Forgive them. Kind of takes care of it, doesn't it? We don't want to do that. We want to justify. For guys, normally it's anger. Again, we haven't put off anger, so we're going to get angry at everything. Just, he looked at me, he said this, or he did that, or didn't do this or that, or didn't say this. You know, who knows what it is. I mean, we're just angry, so we're going to get angry. We're going to find a set offense. We're going to have complaint, and that's that. And it's has nothing to do with Christ, as it's not Christian. It's, again, I'm just living ill. There's nothing changed in me. Jesus hasn't changed me. I haven't allowed Jesus to change me. I'm going to forgive. Why? Because I've been forgiven. Cripe. How can I not forgive? I was a liar. I was a cheat. I was a thief. I was a murderer. I was filthy, and God forgave me. How can I not forgive? How can I say that they're filthier? They've lied more. They've cheated more. They're more a murderer than I am, so I can't forgive them. That's, in essence, that's what we're saying. When we don't forgive, when we can't bear with one another. I mean, sometimes it's a real bear to bear with one another, but we're commanded to do it. These things aren't optional. And that's why the church flounders. That's why there's no power in the church. There's no reality in the church. Because we don't do it. Well, I'm just not that way. After all, I'm a guy. I'm just speaking for myself. No, it's wrong. And Christ isn't real. I want Christ to be real. And so bearing, forgiving one another. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. You see, love is what binds us together. And ultimately, we'd rather hate. And if it ain't love, it's got to be hate. I mean, I don't think there's a lot in between. And I really don't love. And so there's no bond there. There's no, when love is like that Gorilla Glue. You ever try and take something apart? You Gorilla Glued? You're not going to do it. Two pieces of wood, I mean, the glue won't, you might be able to break the wood. I've taken a screwdriver and hammered in there, and the glue doesn't break it. You just break the wood in a different place. You could re-glue it, and it'd be stronger than than it was before. That's really what love should be. That nothing, can break that bond. But we really don't love. And so there's no glue holding us together. That's why there's so much division and divisiveness and schism. And look what he calls it. It's a bond, and it's a perfect bond. Love creates the perfect bonding. I'm sure my own son could hand me a list of things. Dad. Because we're not only son and father, but we work together. So he sees me. He knows my faults. He knows my character. And he could hand me he hasn't handed me the list. It's not like he's ignoring them, because sometimes he'll say, Dad, why are you doing that? Or why are you acting like that. I don't think once I've said, shut up. You're my son, and you do what I tell you to do, and don't judge me. Every time I say, you're right. You're right, thank you for loving me enough to tell me that I'm not walking with the Lord right now. But that's not the Lord. There's the bond of love that's perfecting. And nothing that I would do. You know what? Nothing that I would do. Jesus isn't saying, that's it. I'm done with you. No, I love you. Come back to me. My love will never change for you. I could never open my Bible again, never say another prayer, and Jesus' love will not change for me, as it will not change for you. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. No, and love's there, peace is there. We're thankful. I can be thankful. Let the word of Christ there, here, and here you go. How's it all come together? How can I succeed at these things? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's a lot. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatever you do in word or deed. There we go. I'm not doing it for Jeff. I'm not doing it for Calvary Chapel. I'm not doing it even for money. I'm not even doing it to earn a living. Whatever I do, whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's the only place where life is. That's the only place where, I'm gonna succeed. Lord, help us to have, man, help me to look up. Help me to keep my eyes on the right things. Help me to take the responsibility of what I've read in the Word to do it. God, this morning, there's some things I need to put off. And I'm going to put off these things, but I'm not just going to put them off. I'm going to put these things on. And you know what? I'm going to dig. It's like there's a treasure there. There is richness untold. I kind of, at night, some of these reality shows, one I thought was interesting, there was one they were digging for, they're in Iceland, digging for jewels. Wow, you know, they got like 2 months and it's like this horrible weather and they're up there digging, trying to find diamonds and rubies. And to the lengths that they would go, the dangers they expose themselves to, and yet that's what this is likened to. Here it is. Here's the gems, the true gems of all life.
Indeed.
And what kind of effort am I going to put forth to dig them? To dig them out. Let the word of Christ dwell in me richly. I'm going to go mining to find the richness. And I'll be honest with you, I can spend a lot of time doing a lot of things to the expense of I don't have time. Yet I have a ton of time. That's another thing that comes on that phone. I don't pop on it. How does it know? Maybe because I look up websites like hunting. What? Every time I turn my phone on, then there's all these news articles. You know, so-and-so kills this big elk. So-and-so does this. So-and-so does. I can spend all my time just, oh, wow, look at what so-and-so did. And it's interesting. Oh, geez, I don't have time for this, so. That's what should pop up on there. I wonder if there's a thing you can put on there. Ah, here's a little gem. Think of this for the rest of the day. Think on this verse for the rest of the day. That's what needs to be on those things. Or there's that thing, and I'm not into it, but I know. I watch people on those phones. You know, next time you're at the restaurant, watch them. Next time you have a family gathering, watch them. Why do you have to have a phone at a family gathering? Why? Yeah, they're texting and caring, and they're on Facebook, and they're addicted to it. If you're addicted to it, you need to do something about it, because it's bad. That's bad. And the creators of it said they made it so that they would addict you. I see it. I see it all the time. It's not good. Facebook stuff. Lord, help us. Lord, your word's really good today. Lord, just how to apply these things. Lord, I pray that in whatever way necessary this morning, Lord, you would help us. Lord, just by reading it, I'm just being honest, Lord, that I need to put off and put on. Lord, help us all. Help us all. We need to be more like you. Lord, we need to reflect these things that Paul is speaking about here. Next week he's going to talk just how it affects our relationships. Lord, holiness, the Jesus lifestyle, I think is played out the most in relationships. I guess the success of really whether I'm Christ-like at all is proven in my relationships for sure. So, Lord, do a work in us. And Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.